Welcome to the podcast, God Wants to Talk to You. 15 minutes of Bible talk hosted by a regular guy, ordinary non-church affiliated layman named Michael.
And that would be me. Welcome to another episode. I apologize if I sound like Froggy from The Little Rascals. Could be dating myself with that reference. I am not as old as The Little Rascals, but I do remember watching all those reruns as a kid. And Froggy had that raspy voice. I have been sick for over a week now, but nothing's going to keep me from going to church or from teaching the word here on the Bible study. So that's what we are going to do. And today we're going to go into my favorite book. It is, of course, the book of John in the Gospel of John, one of the four Gospels of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And then we're going to go back to the Old Testament because Jesus himself references what we are talking about here. And one of the things that is, we'll put this into context before we start the reading for today. What happens is Jesus had just healed a guy on the Sabbath. And that, of course, created great controversy because you're not supposed to do literally anything on the Sabbath. But when they started questioning him, and when I say they, I mean the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders of the time, they're already mad he healed a guy. And then they start saying, you know, what's going on? And then he basically tells them he did it for his Father, saying he is the Son of God. To them, he put himself at equal with God, which is absolutely a stonable offense. And by that, I mean they throw rocks at you until you die. So they were furious at this point. They did not like his defense. And so Jesus now goes to give another defense. He tells them he's the Son of God. They're not buying that. That makes them more mad. And they're like, how can you say that? Under what authority can you say these things and do these healings? So this is what Jesus says. And this is from John chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at verse 31, and it is the words of Jesus as told by John in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you will have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So here we are. Very interesting stuff. And you're like, let's break this down a little bit. So Jesus is now defending himself. And he says, and remember, we're dealing in a time where Jewish law, in order for something to be truth, you couldn't have a he said, she said. If you had he said versus she said, but she had two or three witnesses that verified what she said, she would win in the way their law was set up. So Jesus acknowledges the principle of their law by saying, I'm not going to testify on myself, even though if I did testify on myself, I am Jesus, the Son of God, it would be valid. But he is playing their game. He's humoring them. He's saying, okay, so you want testimony of someone else. And he gives them John the Baptist, who they looked upon as a great prophet. Remember, John was after 400 years of no prophets. There were no prophets, and they believed John was a great prophet. So he publicly declared Jesus when he walked up to be baptized in front of however many people were there, which was a lot. It wasn't a couple. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember he said that? He was a light meant to guide people toward Jesus, yet the leaders enjoyed his message, but then they never really bought all the way in, kind of like Jesus. Jesus, they flirted with. All right, some of them came and talked to him, but they didn't go all in and fully believe. They never did, and that's their problem. That's not our problem. And a lesson we can learn from that is it's possible to be drawn to spiritual truth for a time without truly accepting it. So you can read the Bible, you can know the Bible, but if you never fully accept it in your heart, you never fully accept Jesus, you're no different than the Hebrews in that situation. You are not. Now, the witness of Jesus now is saying, all right, and if you won't believe John, who is testified to me, how about all of these miracles I've been doing? They are all aware. Jesus is incredibly famous at this point. He can't even enter towns to preach anymore. He has to stay out, and he's preaching outside of towns because he's become so famous, and people are coming far and wide to see him, and he's healing people. He's feeding 5,000 people at a time with no food. He's forgiving people's sins. He's doing amazing things that are visible evidence of his divine power, and they aren't just acts of compassion. A lot of it is compassion because Jesus loves us all, and it is compassion, but these are signs pointing to, hey, this is a special person. This guy tells us he's the Son of God. He probably is being able to do the things he is doing. He's bringing dead people back to life. And we know that God often confirms his presence through the fruits of his work. God is at work in the world today. There are times, there are still miracles out there. There are things that we see. Now, what brings us on? Prayer, I think. I think prayers of the faithful. I think God has a bigger, better master plan than any of us could comprehend. And sometimes he's not finished with someone, or he wants to use that person to glorify himself so that others also accept Jesus and accept the word. So a lot of miracles still go on today, but those are acts of God, those miracles. Now, Jesus says, all right, I've done all these miracles. I've got John the Baptist. How about the Father himself who sent me has verified for you? And you're like, wait a minute. How did God verify Jesus? Sure, he did the miracles, which are an act of God. But what else happened? Oh, yeah. Remember when he got baptized by John the Baptist, aka witness number one in this conversation? When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, from the sky, from the clouds, a voice came and said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." That was God. That was the voice of God. He spoke to the people, and of course it freaked everyone out. But do you think he did that for Jesus' sake? Jesus knew this already. He did this for the sake of all of those around, because he wanted these people to accept. Imagine how different the world would have been if the ancient Israelis would have accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Well, who knows what would have happened? But we know that's not what was meant to be, because God knows better. So now let's get to the other interesting point, and I'm going to go back in scripture and read this. Then he says, all right, so I've got God himself has testified to me. John the Baptist testified to me. All of these miracles I have done in the name of the Father testify to me. What else could I have? Well, and remember, they always throw Moses up. The ancient Hebrews would always go with Moses. Moses is a very, very, very big person in the ancient Bible. He's in the modern Bible, in our Bible period, in ancient scriptures. He's still looked upon as one of the greatest prophets ever for Jewish people. And what's weird is Jesus says Moses is against you because Moses wrote about me. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? There was a point when God came thundering voice from the sky as Moses was there telling the people what to do, and God was talking directly to the people, and it scared them to death. They literally went to Moses begging, please don't ever let him speak to us again. They were way, way, way too scared. So that's what has happened at that point. That's where we are in the book of Deuteronomy. And this is what happens. So Moses then says, let me get to my story. Yeah, here it is. Ba-da-ba-ba. He said, Moses then tells them, after they beg him to not let God speak to them again, he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb. That's where he spoke from the sky on the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord then said to me, who is Moses, what they say is good. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words, and the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. So in there, the prophet that God is going to send, according to what he's telling Moses, that is Jesus Christ. That is the Messiah. So he's saying, listen to him. I'm going to tell him everything. And how many times in the New Testament, when we're reading along, do we hear Jesus say, hey, this isn't what I say. I'm just telling you what my Father told me to tell you. I'm telling you what God wants you to know. And they refuse to listen. They refuse to accept him. And what happens? They eventually kill him. Which is weird, because you can't kill God. He comes right back after 3 days, which was also in the ancient scriptures. Everything is in there. It is wonderful. I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament fits to the New Testament. But one thing to really look at here is to know that these people, they were biblical scholars. They were absolute scholars of the scriptures. And they missed everything. They missed it. So just because someone is super smart, someone can quote every Bible verse in the world, and someone knows the Bible inside and out, doesn't mean they are any closer to God, or that they even get the true picture of the Bible. Knowing it, repeating it, isn't living it, isn't accepting it, isn't connecting the dots. You have to be able to connect the dots. What I just showed to you in the Old Testament, when we went back to Deuteronomy, we connected the dots to the New Testament all the way into the book of John. When Jesus is explaining who he is and under what authority he does what he does, when he heals people on the Sabbath, when he brings people back from the dead, when he does all these things. So really cool stuff. If you'd like to read it, you can get into Deuteronomy, like I said. In Deuteronomy, it is Deuteronomy 18 from verse 14 through like 21 is where we read. And then the other was John chapter 5. So really, really great stuff. I thank you guys for listening to the podcast. As always, God bless you all. I pray for you and for peace in this crazy world. And I will talk to you again very soon with another episode of God Wants to Talk to You.
If you would like to contact us here at God Wants to Talk to You, follow us and reach out through Instagram at God Wants to Talk to You. Until next time, may the peace of our Lord be with you.